Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, welcome to Tell Me Tales. We're back, it's a new year, it's 2018, I'm 30, feeling old and stuff. And yeah, it's a new year for the podcast, going into our second year now and things are pretty exciting. I hope you enjoy this conversation with Miriam Dowie. Very interesting person, 18 years old, raises a whole lot of money for charity, speaks amazingly well for somebody so young, Moroccan born. Often races in the hijab and the long tights. You probably may have seen her getting in the podium in a couple of big races down in Tasmania. She came third at the National Cross Country Championships this year Wollongong, I think, in New South Wales there somewhere. So very quality runner, ran a marathon when she was 17 to raise some money for Syria and ran 3 hours and 2 minutes. Just got an amazing story and someone that I really wanted to get on the show and just have a conversation with, because I think sometimes we get a bit caught up with, just the mainstream kind of athletes in Australia, and we forget about some of these younger kids doing some amazing things. So I really wanted to get on the show and have a conversation with her. Hope you enjoy it. Sorry for not having a show last week. It was a crazy week with Christmas, New Year's. Got one out for Inside Running just, birthday. And now we're back in the routine. And I think it's looking like I might have two shows this week and two shows next week. So something to look forward to there. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for the emails and the feedback. Thanks for the rating on iTunes. All those kind of things really help spread the word. Really spread this one. She has an amazing story and I think it needs to be heard. So I'd appreciate your support in spreading the word. The world, the word. Enjoy, guys. Cheers. Okay, welcome to Tell Me Your Tales podcast, Miriam Dowie. Thanks for joining me today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate, giving me this opportunity.
Yeah, well, you're someone we've been playing email tag for about the last probably 6 weeks, I think. Email's been going back and forth, and you were finishing off uni and I was finishing off school teaching. It was a bit of a crazy time of the year, but, yeah, thankfully, start of January, we've made it happen.
Yes, yep, that's the main thing.
And coming
I've still got uni, but, yep, it's all right.
Yeah, okay. Don't have a big break over Christmas?
No, I'm doing a summer semester.
Ah, really? No rest?
No.
Okay, and thanks for coming on. I was speaking to Josh Harris about you earlier in the year and Andy Allison. He did a bit of a report for us on my other podcast that I do, Inside Running, and after you won the Point to Pinnacle. So, definitely thought you'd be a great guest and just hear about your story and upbringing and, your achievements in running. So thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
What I usually do, Miriam, is I get the guests to introduce themselves. So feel free to take that in any way you like and, tell the listeners a bit about who you are.
Yep. So I'm Miriam. I just see myself as a normal person who just enjoys running. Some people know me as, I guess, they see me as a, exceptional runner. But for me, I don't think I'm better than anyone. And yeah, I just have a big passion for running. I was originally from Morocco, and I moved to Australia. I've been living here since I were 14 years now. And yeah, so currently I'm at university studying nursing, and along that I do cross country, track, and yeah.
Beautiful. I've got to let the listeners know you are 18 years old, is that correct?
Yes, I'm 18, turning 19, 24th of January, so that's soon.
Not far away, yeah. But third place national cross country this year, so you said you enjoy cross country running, but you're also one of the best cross country runners we've got in Australia. And for an 18-year-old, you've done some pretty remarkable things with your running, and also just doing a bit of researching into you, like your fundraising efforts. I think I probably tallied up about $7,000 or $8,000 that you've raised for different charities over the last couple of years, which is pretty amazing for someone so young.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you can use, you know, running as a way to bring awareness to important causes, then why not? And it wasn't just my running, it was also the just seeing the community come together. It was just amazing, and getting the support from everyone. It was just amazing to see that come together, and yeah.
Yeah,
hopefully I'll try and organise some more fundraising events in the future.
Yeah. Do you want to maybe just fill the listeners in what you were fundraising for?
Yeah, that's fine. So back in 2016, I ran my first marathon to raise money for what was happening in Syria. I just felt, you know, watching, you know, what was happening there and feeling hopeless at what, you know, what they were going through. And seeing how privileged I was, it just made me feel sad, and I wanted to do something. And then I was like, well, you know, I can use my running to try and help them. So I dedicated my first marathon, which I ran at Ross Marathon, and I set up a GoFundMe page maybe around 5 weeks before the marathon, and I just, you know, wrote, you know, I'm raising money for Syria. And the amount of support I got from the community, from family, from friends, it was just overwhelming. And we raised, I think it was over $5,000.
Yeah, it's pretty
insane.
And just
getting, you know, even ABC News came and made a little segment on it, and it was great, yeah.
You did bypass the fact that you actually won that marathon as well. So, you know, a marathon, a marathon as a 17-year-old, you ran 3 hours and 2 minutes. Raised over 5,000, and from what I think Josh Harris also won the men's section that year. He told me it was like a, because it's a point to point course, isn't it? And it's, was it like 35-40k wins? Yeah, right.
Four laps with four nice hills and really strong headwind, but it was worth it.
So such an amazing effort for someone so young. And yeah, I guess, how'd you pull up and stuff after that? Like, running a marathon at such a young age is pretty unforeseen, I guess, in Australia.
Yeah, I was actually pretty fine. It, like, 1 week later, I was all good, but I did, you know, get sore and stuff after a couple of days. But yeah, it was not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, right. There's probably a couple of marathon runners listening with a bit of jealousy hearing that you pulled up so well. I know I'm probably one of them. It takes me forever to get over a marathon, but yeah, that's pretty cool to hear. Maybe if you just go back and just link us up with what got you into running at the first place. Like, were you pretty young, or was it in Morocco, or maybe go through the background of what first got you into running.
So for me, I was pretty unfit as a kid. The thing that got me into running was I went to an all-girls school in Tasmania. It's called Ogilvy, and they have a very supportive community, and they like to create a group for a local fun run, which is called the City to Casino.
Yep.
And that year my friend was like, hey, you should try you know, the city, like, sign up for it, because you know, the school is looking for a team. And I was unsure at first. I was like, oh, but, you know, can't even run for 5 minutes, let alone 7 kilometers. But, you know, I was like, hey, what's to lose? So I signed up, and I just, after that, like, coming into the race, I was just overwhelmed by how supportive everyone was, and just the atmosphere. I've never seen so many people come together just to run. I never experienced that, and I just loved that. And also, I managed to run the whole way, the whole 7 kilometers without stopping. And just crossing the finish line, knowing that I ran 7 kilometers without stopping, just, I guess you could say I caught the running bug. And I told myself, you know, if I could do this, what can I do? You know, what else can I do?
Yeah, right. So you weren't like naturally gifted. You didn't go out and win that race first up or anything. It was just more of that community feel.
Oh, no,
feel
I was like dead last.
Okay, yeah, cool. Well, I think that's important for people to know, because sometimes we hear about these people coming, you know, winning big races and coming third at national cross country, and we often forget that they started from the bottom and worked their way up.
No, I didn't run an exceptionally fast time or anything. I was just, you know, as I said, my running, I don't compare myself to others. It's about working on yourself. At the end of the day, it's not about how fast you run or what place you get. It's just trying to improve from, I guess, for you.
Yeah.
And that's what I,
Great attitude to have. So then how did it progress? So that first 7K race, you ran the whole way. And then, you know, what was the next step?
After that, I signed up for the cross country season, which was linked with the school, and ever since then I've been with Northern Suburbs Athletics Club, and just, you know, progressing. And then I found a coach who also helped me along the way, and training with other girls as well.
Yeah, right.
And then, but the I only started getting more competitive in running maybe 2016.
Yes.
And last year I went to Morocco for a trip, because I'm, as I mentioned before, I'm Moroccan, and every 3 years me and my family go to see, you know, relatives and family. And I think what happened that this time around when we went there was a major contribution to my improvement in my performance. Yeah, so I actually got to race in the cross-country nationals in Morocco, which was unplanned for, but I did. So me and my family went up to Ifran, which is up at the Atlas Mountains, and that's where a lot of the athletes go for altitude training, and they have like a camp there, and I guess a athletics university, and people go and train there. And one of the coaches came up to me and was like, oh, you know, we've got the cross-country nationals. If you want to race, you're welcome to join. So we ended up staying for the weekend and I raced. It was one of the – I've never raced a race like that before. Just the atmosphere there was, like, really, you know, crazy. Like, the girls there were really competitive, really big field. Everyone was, you know, lining up and – I was like, oh, you know, just see how I go. I was unsure. And I managed to come second overall, and I surprised myself. And after that, I'm not sure if you've heard of him. His name is Khalid Sakah, and he's a...
Yeah, gold medalist from the...
Yeah, gold medalist.
From the 70s, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yes, that's it. He's, I think, 5,000-meter gold medalist. I'm not... Don't quote me on this. But he's also a cross-country world championship, and so he's a pretty well-known runner. And then he came up to me and offered me to train with the national Moroccan team for a month, and I did. And the plan was that I would compete in world cross-country championships in Uganda. But, yeah, so I trained with the team up there, and I think I learned so much. You know, about nutrition, about training, recovery, all that stuff, which I've carried on with me when I moved back to Australia. Even though I didn't end up staying for the championships in Uganda, because I had to get back to uni and get stuff ready in Australia, but it was like a big learning experience for me.
Well, it sounds like a pretty amazing trip. Like, you go over to visit some family, and the next minute you come second in their cross-country championships and have Olympic gold medalists kind of showing interest in you to join their training groups.
Yeah, it was a good experience.
Yeah, and the culture of distance running in Morocco, you said the atmosphere was really kind of up and about. Was that, like, very, I guess, different to Australia? Is it more of a mainstream sport over there?
Yeah, it's a lot more, I think, competitive.
Yeah.
rather than more of a social thing, it's more competitive. Whereas in Australia, there's more like there's a competitive and also a social side of running.
Yeah, and it was interesting that you got into it through that social and that community kind of side of it, and then you probably learnt about the competitive side of it in Australia, and then really went over there to see the super competitive side of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, did you just come back with a whole stack of confidence going forward in your running when you got back to Australia?
I felt like I knew a lot more and I was more knowledgeable with what to do. And yeah, and that's just helped a lot. And it was reflected in my, improvements in my 10 kilometer times. Like I think before I left, I was running around 37 minutes and my recent 10 kilometer time was around 34:40. So yeah.
Yeah, that was at the Launceston 10K this year, wasn't it? Was that...
Yes, yeah. That's it, yeah.
And then to pick up the win at Point to Pinnacle, also at the end of 2017, and that third place that we mentioned before at the Australian Cross Country Champs, it's capped off a pretty good 2017 for you.
Yeah, it's been a good year.
Yeah, yeah, and I guess you'd be excited about things going forward, going into 2018. What's coming up?
So I've signed up for the Cadbury Half Marathon, which is less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, next weekend.
And yes, and I run the bridge.
Yep.
Which is in February.
Well, Tasmania is good like that, isn't it? It's got quite a lot of races that are pretty competitive and have good fields pretty regularly on. Like it doesn't go probably two or three
months every
without
month.
A good race, yeah.
Exactly, every month there's a race on, which is good.
And what about the, I guess, the community feel still in Tasmania? Like, have you got a good group of guys or girls that you train with?
Yes, definitely. I think the main reason why I'm still running is, I think, just having good people around you that motivate you. It's, running is more than just the physical, but it's also having, the social aspect of it. And here, it's very supportive. Everyone's supportive of each other, like, everyone congratulates, each other when they finish a race, no matter if they ran well or bad. And just having that support network, I think, is very important.
Yeah, it
because is. Running can be a very individual sport, but you can, improve it by having people around you and having that support network.
Yeah, for sure. And talk us through a normal week. So what's a normal week of training like? What kind of mileage are you doing and, like, key sessions and stuff?
Yep. So for me, I do two runs, usually five times a week. So, and they consist of just, when I do two runs, it's just easy. So 10 kilometers easy in the morning and then another 10K easy in the afternoon. And then I also have track sessions. So usually Tuesdays, I do 1 kilometer repeats, my favorite. and that's just 8 kilometers and you do one and then you recover for the 200 and you go again. And then Wednesday, maybe an easy just recovery, because I think recovery is it's more important than the actual sessions. So make sure you recover in between the hard sessions. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been trying to get that through to a couple of people that I coach, like just really backing off. No one cares about how fast you do your recovery days. It's just so important to respect them so you can make
the
gains.
Oh, you know how slow I run? Like really slow.
Yeah.
Maybe it's up to, can even go up to 6 minute K pace. Like that's how slow I go.
Yeah. That's good for people to hear because you're, you just said you've broken 35 minutes a couple of times for 10K, you've ran 3 hours for a marathon as a 17-year-old, probably not doing a massive marathon build-up. So that's important for people to hear that you're running that pace on your recovery days and can still turn out those good PB times.
Because that's the thing with I found that's one of the main things I learned when I went to Morocco is the importance of recovery and making sure you stretch well. Because when I first started running, I thought that, each time you go out for a run, it's about running as fast as you can for as long as you can, but that's not the case. Mm. And a lot of people get stuck in this mindset of, running a certain mileage and a certain pace, and then they get injured. And even when they are injured, they don't stop and recover and take care of themselves because, they have that mindset, more mileage or the faster I run, the better, but that's not the case. You need to make sure you listen to your body and recover adequately.
Yeah.
If you want to improve.
100%, yeah. Yeah, you see people that go out and might do their same 7K loop around their house five times a week, and they'll see how fast they can do it, and they end up kind of doing, you know, 5x7K time trials every week, whereas, yeah, you're right, the elite runners wouldn't do that. I'm sure it would have been similar in Morocco. They wouldn't have done that either.
No. It's not the same. Like, each week there's like a specific workout for a specific reason.
Yeah. So then what would the second half of your week look like?
Yep. So Wednesday, easy. And then Thursday, maybe like a shorter session. So maybe 200 meters on or 200 meters off, or maybe 400 meter reps. In Morocco, we used to do 15x300 with 100 meter recovery. That was hard.
That's a good session. And was Morocco at altitude as well?
Yes.
Yeah, I could imagine that'd be quite a hard session.
Yeah.
That 100 meters would go quick.
It's such a good feeling to get it finished.
Yeah.
Or if not at the track, you might do maybe fartlek or hill sprints. So around 15 hill sprints, so maybe 100 meters, and then just recover and then go again. And then usually on a Friday, easy run. Saturday, if it's not a race, another easy run, and then Sunday, my long run.
Yeah, and what do you build your long runs out to? How far are you going on a Sunday?
Usually they're on average 21 kilometres.
Yeah.
Sometimes 25 if I'm feeling up to it.
Yeah, and do you run that at a certain pace as well, or just as a recovery?
No, just easy.
Yep, time on your feet kind of long run.
And if I feel like, you know, I feel that's the thing, you just listen to yourself. I'm not saying that I do this the workouts that I'm telling you now, that's what I usually do, but if I feel like I'm tired or not up to it, then I just listen to my body, and maybe I'll just, instead of doing the long run, I'll just go for 5Ks easy and that's it.
Yeah.
And if I feel, you know, I'm good up to 20Ks, I'll do 25Ks.
Yeah, where is this, I guess, this maturity come from? Like, I speak to a lot of people on this podcast who have made massive mistakes in their training before, and they'll always name it, and I'm a bit of a sucker from pushing too hard and stuff in the past as well, but some of the statements you come out with sound like they're coming from a 35-year-old, not an 18-year-old. Like, have you always been pretty mature and stuff in your training?
I'm still learning every day I'm still learning, but it's just my past mistakes. Because I remember when I first started running, you know, it's just about trying to run this time or this distance, but I found that that is not effective. And as I said, just going to Morocco and learning all those, that insight that I got really helped.
Yeah. And what else was the culture of Morocco like? It really interests me to, just know more about it. Like, what time of the day were they training? And, like, were they doing ice baths or anything for recovery? Or what did it look like over there?
So usually they would, we'd usually go out for an easy run in the morning. So they had like a nice little forest on a dirt track, and people would go there. And afternoon, they'd do their track sessions or speed work. And sometimes maybe maybe mid-afternoon, they'd do, you know, their strength training as well. And a lot of the recovery, it's just the stretches that they do are really good. And also you use partners to help you stretch, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And would that stretching be like daily after, like every run you'd finish with stretching?
Yes, every run after recovery, after hard sessions, all the time.
Yeah, right. And was that something you did before you went over to Morocco?
No.
Yeah,
I'm shocked at that as well. No, I never stretched. I never stretched at all.
And do you think it's benefited you like now?
Yes, a lot. Yes.
Yeah.
I think it has reduced my injuries and improved my recovery so much. Just stretching 5 minutes after a run, you know, it makes a big difference.
Yeah. And what about getting into the gym and stuff? Do you do much strength work?
Yes. Well, I'm going to be honest, because I've been really busy with uni. I just not as much as I should be doing, but strength training is very important. The thing is, running is not just about running. It's about, you don't just run. You need the strength. So your core muscles, everything. if you want to run well. So, yeah, and it also prevents injuries. But I try maybe 3 times a week to do a bit of strength work.
Yeah.
After my runs, yeah.
And that was something that was evident in Morocco as well?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
They had like a massive gym that they'd go and do their strength work in.
And were they like full-time athletes? Like were people doing that for their job or...?
Yeah, they were full-time athletes. So they... It's basically like a... So they go there and they have their own dorms that they sleep in. And all the everything's cooked for them. So they have breakfast, lunch, dinner at the campus and then they train and that's basically it.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Like the, I guess the Australian Institute of Sport in a way.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's pretty interesting. Take me back to that Ross Marathon. Like you're obviously raising money, but what was going through your head? What was your longest run maybe before that race, and then what was it like in the final stages in your first ever marathon at such a young age?
Yeah, my longest run before Ross so was 30 kilometers, and I think Ross was definitely one of the most most memorable race for me because I first of all ran my first marathon and just the atmosphere there was so supportive and knowing I was actually running for a cause really helped during the run. Like when I felt really tired, I just kept on telling myself, you know, you're doing this, you know, to raise awareness for Syria and everyone's behind your back. So that really helped. And coming, I think, the marathon really started last 10 kilometers. That was really hard for me. You just get really tired. I'm also a diabetic, so I had to be more, make sure I was eating my gels and keeping my sugar levels up. And then my feet, my legs, everything started to cramp the whole last 3Ks and it was just trying to get one foot in front of the other. Yeah.
And you even went on to break the course record. Was that right? Did you break the course record by a few minutes as well that day?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere 2.5 minutes off. Yeah. Well, it's a pretty good effort in your first one. And it's, and I guess touching on that type 1 diabetes as well, like how does that impact your running training and what have you got to be cautious of there?
Yeah, so with type 1 diabetes, you just need to, because a lot of type 1 diabetics are scared of exercising or doing what they love, because they're scared of their sugar levels dropping. But I want to try and tell those people it's okay, you can still do what you want. You know, you can still be a full-time athlete and have type 1 diabetes. It's just about management and learning how your body works. So I'll make sure that I, you know, check my sugar levels. Also, over the years, it's just been, you know, a learning process. So I know what to eat before and how much insulin or... So insulin is my medication that I take for my diabetes, and because I adjust my dose. So if I have a race or a really hard session, I'll probably have a lower dose of insulin than a normal day. And if I check my sugar levels before training and it's in the lower end, I make sure, you know, I have my, you know, something sweet to eat just to make sure I don't drop during the session.
Yeah, and I guess have you had some bad experiences where you've learned about yourself and what not to do with diabetes and the training?
Yeah, I think one of the mistakes I used to do was I think I get really stressed about my sugar levels before I run, and that didn't really help when I first started running, but I found that, you know, with help from your doctor and stuff, it's not too bad. And making sure that, you know, as I said, eating well beforehand, checking your sugar levels and adjusting your insulin. So don't just give your normal dose and then go out for like a really hard session or like a long race because your sugar levels will drop.
Yeah, well, it's just, and it doesn't impact you at all. Like, I guess once you've got your insulin correctly, like there's no disadvantage for you at all in a race.
The funny thing is with races is because of the adrenaline rush, it's not too bad. So your sugar levels, like generally you don't get low sugar levels, but it's just with training they might drop because it's not as much adrenaline. Because with adrenaline, it actually increases your blood sugar levels. So I've never actually had a hypo, which is a, which means low sugar, during a race. But I have had a few in training, and once I actually had to stop at someone's house and ask for, I think it was lemonade, because I was just, I felt really bad and I needed something sweet.
Yeah, something sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, hopefully that doesn't happen too much. But I guess all the gels and stuff, like, they're all loaded with the processed sugar and stuff as well, so it's pretty handy to have them in the back pocket.
Yeah, no, they're good.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe over to your fundraising efforts. Like, we touched on your, you know, your $5,000 that you raised at the Ross Marathon for Syria, but you've also raised money for, was it Rohingya, or the refugees over there? You organised a fundraiser.
Yeah,
that stuff. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was, I think, 4 months ago, and it was, as I said, you know, it was, I was just confronted with what was happening and nothing, I felt, you know, hopeless again. And I was like, hey, maybe I'll organise my own fun run. So we did that, and it was just, as I said again, like, the community getting together was just, I really appreciated it. And I organised a 5-kilometre run and walk, and I made posters, and I told everyone about it, made an event page. And it turned out really well, and I just got so much support. You know, people were donating food for, because we had like a little barbecue at the end. And yeah, just, you know, prize packs and stuff just coming together. It was a nice social event.
You should be
And we ended up raising, I think, 3,700, so that was really good.
Yeah, that's amazing. Like, I guess you'd have to be pretty grateful to the community, but at the same time, it's pretty amazing what you're doing within your community. You should be up for a Young Australian of the Year award or something like that with all these fundraising efforts.
Yeah, but this wouldn't have happened if I didn't get help from others. I mean, I might have an idea, but it's sort of like in the ripple effect. You need other people to come and help you, because if I didn't get help from others, it wouldn't have happened. So it's not just me. It's, I guess, help from everyone. So it's not just,
Your initiative kicks it off, and then everyone comes together to help you out.
Exactly. It's teamwork. That's it. That's the right word.
Yeah. No, it's pretty good, but it's pretty motivating just hearing that there's young Australians, in, especially in the running community, who are using their initiative to help people less fortunate.
Yeah,
that's good. Take me back to Point to Pinnacle this year. Would have been pretty impressed with, well, talk us through the race, because isn't it just 21K straight uphill?
It is. One big hill.
And obviously you had the win there. You won quite easily in the end, I think.
Wouldn't say easily, but I did surprise myself, because Kate, she's like she wins it every year, so I was very surprised. But I was, you know, coming into the race, I was very stressed, because 1 week beforehand I think I tore my hamstring and it was really sore the whole week, and I was like, oh, will I even be able to run? But I just put one foot in front of the other and I was like, you know, just go, and I felt fine, so my like nothing played up, and just tried to stick behind a group of runners in front of me. And one thing I told myself was just try and stay comfortable, even though I was in a lot of pain. Just, I guess, be comfortable with the pain. That's what got me through. And this drink stations, because it was a really hot day, so I made sure I drank each station. And I was just, I guess, trying, you know, get to the top.
It seems
but like the last 2 kilometres, it was hard.
Yeah, it seems like that's a bit of a common thread with you, though, that you can embrace the pain in races and kind of almost shift that pain. Like, you can think of people you're raising money for, or think of something else to
and
kind of shift
it.
That
yep.
pain. Yeah, is that something you do regularly in races for your mental toughness?
Yes, I try embrace the pain. That's the right word for it. Try and embrace it rather than dwell on it. And I think that helps a lot, because running, it's not just the physical, it's also the mental.
Yeah, it's pretty good characteristic to be able to have, because I know even with my racing sometimes it's, we all go through that pain, and it's how you deal with it mentally that's so important.
Yeah, but you need to distinguish between running pain and injury pain.
Yeah,
that's the main thing.
Yeah.
Well, don't continue running if your ankles are falling off or something. You know, stop.
You did just say that you thought you'd strained your hamstring like the week leading into this race. So, it's good to hear you got that better and didn't run through any serious pain there.
And I told myself, if I felt my hamstring pulling up, I'm going to stop. And I didn't, so I just continued. And that's the thing, you just have to listen to yourself.
Yeah. And going forward, do you think you'll stick to the longer distances? Like, is there another marathon on the cards going forward, or what are you thinking?
Definitely in the future. My coach has advised me not to run any marathons, just for the time being. But I would definitely consider running marathons again, especially the London Marathon. I'd love to do that.
Yeah, why London?
Because I've got, travel and run. And I've got just places I want to see in London, and I've got family there as well, so it'll be nice to go and visit them and maybe run the London Marathon.
Well, it's one of the big ones, isn't it? Like, it always looks so special just watching it on the live stream and all those kind of things when it's on, and just so many people in the one space. And
exactly,
course looks amazing. Definitely on my bucket list to do as well.
Yeah.
So you get the shorter distances down in the next couple of years, and then go for maybe a serious marathon debut.
That's the plan.
You must be pretty excited.
Well, goes well.
If you can run 3 hours on a hilly, windy course when you're 17, it must excite you about what you could possibly do in the future.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
Definitely. Marathon is definitely a good... I think I really enjoyed that distance. For me, I'm a long-distance runner. I don't really like the shorter stuff, so...
Yeah. Well, I think that gives you an opportunity for that strength, of that mental strength. Like, you really get 10K to kind of embrace that pain, whereas if you're on the track, it might only be 2 or 3 minutes to get through the last couple of laps, so it's kind of plays to your strengths a bit.
Exactly, yeah. And with the track, it's more focused on running really, really fast, and it's more, like, specific, whereas with the longer distances, it's a different, I guess, ball game. It's more about getting through and patience and strength. Whereas if you race like a 400 meters, every little millisecond counts. But a marathon, you know, you can make up time if you lost time, and you can still work towards, I guess, if you have a disadvantage earlier on the race, you could still pick up.
Yeah, I always think the marathon tells you a lot about what you're like as a human as well. Like, you go to some pretty dark places and you really got to push on, and it teaches you quite a lot about your own character and your own personality.
Exactly, and you learn so much about yourself.
Yeah.
It's very, running, it's not just about running, it's also, like, mentally it helps a lot, I think, for your mental health. It's really good.
Oh, I know for sure. Like, just being a school teacher, not that it's the most hectic job in the world, but just leaving work, and I just need to go for a run after work just to clear my head and just to, I don't know, just so
exactly
spiritual
the same
and,
here,
just meditative. And even before school, like, if I don't run before work, I really find that I'm in a different mood at school compared to if I haven't ran. I'm, kind of a bit all over the place.
You
almost get scattered. You're a bit on edge the whole day, Oh, that's good that someone else feels the same way about that.
And that's the same with me with uni and just hectic life. Running just gives me that break, and it's sort of like meditation in a way, and you just it improves your self-awareness, and it helps you reflect on your day and what you're going to do next and just everything, and it just clears your head.
And I don't know if you're the same, but I often get, like, creative thoughts. Like, things come into my mind that I might not have thought about, and I'm not sure if that's how some of your fundraising ideas have come about in the past, or you kind of, you really can channel that thinking energy into other things and not just yourself for a while.
Exactly, yeah.
Miriam, you go.
When I go for a run, all these creative ideas do come to my head, and it helps a lot as well.
Yeah, it's like, I'm sure something happens in our brain with the endorphins and all that stuff that is just firing those creative parts of our brain while we're going. Hey,
and I've had, like, days where just really bad days, and you just feel depressed and sad, but you go out for that run, you come back home a different person.
Yeah, it really puts things into perspective,
helps,
I think, doesn't it? Like, it just clears the head, and it's a good thing to do. I always say if everyone in the world went for a run every day, it'd be a much better place, I think.
Yep, it would be.
It would be pretty good. Hey, I wanted to touch on you race wearing the hijab and the long tights as well. Obviously, you're practicing Muslim, and it's something that stands out because we don't see that so often. But obviously, it doesn't restrict you at all because you're still running really, really fast. But have you had some interesting comments or looks in your time training and racing?
No, I have had the most, like, everyone's been so supportive of it, and I've had girls who wear the hijab themselves come up to me and tell me, you know, you've empowered me to start running, and that just, it makes me feel really happy to know that I'm actually, you know, helping people see a different light and perspective of the hijab, because there's this stereotype, you know, that Muslim women, they're not, you know, fit, or they wear the hijab, it restricts them from doing what they want, but that's not true. And I want to break down that stereotype. And also, you know, with the media, it's all this negative image about, you know, Muslims are terrorists and all that stuff, when that's not the case. And I just want to, I guess, showcase that and show people that what you wear shouldn't restrict you from doing what you want.
Yeah, 100%.
And you can, you know.
Yeah, you're really, you know, letting yourself talk as well. Like, you can, with your actions, with your fundraising, with the paces you're running at, with the races you're winning, you're definitely not held back in any way.
Yeah, but I did come, like, when I first moved to Australia, like, sometimes it still does happen, you do get the occasional racist comments, and I had really, really bad low self-esteem when I was in primary school and high school because of these comments, and I got bullied a lot. And I think over the years and currently now, that's really helped strengthen my identity now to try and help others who are going through the same thing, and not let those, you know, I guess racist comments let them down.
Yeah,
because, you know, those people don't deserve the attention.
No, 100%. And hopefully times are changing. Like, hopefully that's something of the past.
Oh, yes.
But
you'd be
a perfect person to talk to about it. Like, yeah, your own experiences. And I guess even the way that your community can come around you and, you know, help you with those fundraising efforts or those fun runs, it really says that you're one of the community. You're not somebody different because of what you might wear.
Exactly, yeah. Everyone, you know, everyone's an individual in this world, and we need to embrace it and accept it. Doesn't matter if you wear a hijab or not. Everyone deserves the same amount of respect.
Yeah, 100%. Couldn't have said it better myself. It's a pretty good quote, that one. And yeah, it's sometimes hard to believe just in this conversation so far that, yeah, I am speaking to an 18-year-old, just how well-spoken you are with those comments.
Well, almost 19.
Almost 19, yeah, yeah. We'll call you an 18-year-old for the rest of the show, though. It sounds more impressive if you're 18-year-old with these comments.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's it. Are there people in the Australian, in the running world that you really look up to and inspire to be like, given your views and your experiences and your promise and potential going forward?
I find that I get, I guess, motivation from anyone, just seeing people who aren't even elite runners, just your average person, or like parents who have their kids on strollers and going out for runs. That motivates me. Or someone who's trying to change their lifestyle, trying to improve their health, they motivate me. But I do find Eloise Wellings to be a major influence and motivator for me, and she's just so down to earth and humble. And I've met her when she comes down to Tasmania for local events, and she always, you know, comes up to me and says hello, Miriam, and we talk, and it really motivates me. And it's nice to know, you know, it's not about just being competitive, it's also about the social aspect, as you said.
Does that freak you out a bit, though? Like, I know when I heard you speak last time at the pre-race dinner for the Launceston 10K that you're kind of sitting next to her and she's one of your main competitors for that race.
In my head, I wasn't thinking, oh, I'm scared of her. No, because for me, as I said, running, it's not about being faster than the person next to me. It's about trying to improve in myself. But I found it was a privilege to race in the same race as Eloise Wellings, rather than being, you know, scared.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. And going forward, Hobart Cadbury Half Marathon, was it next week, or the 10K down there? What's What's that coming up?
Yes, I'm doing the Cadbury Half Marathon.
Yeah, I'll be down there having a go at that one as well, so it'd be good to actually catch up with you in person. Do you know what competition you've got there? Is there heard any names? Do you know who you're up against?
I haven't really looked into it, to be honest. I've been too busy with uni. It's been very hectic, but I guess just see.
Yeah, well, your motto,
you know, whatever
you
happens
said,
on
yeah,
race day.
Just, yeah, get the best out of yourself, and if that gets first or fifth or 25th, it doesn't
exactly,
worry you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty good way to look at things, really process goal-orientated rather than the outcome.
That's true. And even if not every race is going to be a good race, and I've learned to accept that over the years as well, because a lot of people, you know, they get really sad and disappointed in themselves, and they push themselves too hard after a bad race. But at the end of the day, we're all humans, and it's just one race. Like, there's still more to come in the future. And they actually make I think the bad races make the better races even better, because then you look back at your journey and your progress, which is really important.
Yeah, I think that sometimes with injuries as well, like maybe sometimes you need to go down to some dark places to realize just how good it is when things are going well for you,
because you don't realize it until you actually have to stop and
oh, it does your head in, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Some of those easy jogs that you just can't be bothered doing, and then when you're injured and that's all you want to do, just go out for an easy jog. It really does your head in, and yeah, it's an important point. And a lot of people will be listening to this podcast as they're out running probably right now, so it's important to just remember that, to enjoy the journey and don't take things for granted, I guess.
Exactly, yep.
Hey, Merrin, the last question I always ask people on the podcast is if they've got a mantra or a life quote or some kind of motto that they try to live their life by. Have you got something that stands out to you?
Yes. That for me, it's to live each day, live in the moment, don't dwell on the past, don't think too far ahead in the future, because I found in the past if I do that, it causes too much stress. Just focus on each day. Don't think about what happened yesterday or what's going to happen tomorrow, because you don't know what's going to happen, really. And try and do the best you can, you know. Try and do one good thing, maybe help your neighbor or do something good for yourself. Make sure you take care of yourself, your mental health. I think, you know, just try and, I guess, put small goals in front of you each day.
Yeah, and stay in that moment. It's pretty important. Do you meditate or anything that kind of helps you stay in the
moment? I guess running,
yeah.
Running is my meditation.
Yeah, I've told people that. It definitely has to have some similar effects to meditation, I think, because the amount of time that I'm off almost daydreaming on a run, and yeah, it's pretty good way to stay in the moment and just enjoy your environment and the atmosphere and time with friends and whatever it is.
Yep.
Hey, where
that's
can,
the same with me.
Yeah, where can people follow the journey? Are you on Instagram or Strava or anything like that if they want to reach out to you, or have you got any handles that you can plug?
I've got an Instagram just dedicated to my running, and it's called Merriam Runs. So and I'm on Strava as well, so
beautiful.
I think you just search my name and you'll find it.
We'll find that, I'm sure. The listeners, yeah, most of them are on Strava, so they'll be able to search that pretty good. Well, thanks for your time tonight. It's been very refreshing just to hear a young person's perspective on life and perspective on running, and it's pretty exciting to kind of hear your story and, understand the potential of what may lie ahead for you.
Yep, and thank you so much for having me, in the podcast.
Nah, no dramas at all. As I said,
I really appreciate it.
A couple of people have almost requested a conversation with you. So, there's hopefully, those couple of people. And I always like having people on the show that may not be the biggest names in Australian distance running, but have an interesting story, and they can inspire people in more ways than just letting
them
run.
I'm not sure if
talk.
My story's that interesting, but
It is. Yeah, it definitely is. I think you need to give yourself more credit. Like, some of the stuff you're doing is pretty amazing for someone so young. And just that those stories about Morocco and the fact that you ran that marathon so young, and the fact that you've kind of raised $10,000 for different charities over the last couple of years is pretty inspiring, and I think the listeners will agree with me.
Yeah, thank you.
No worries at all. Thanks for your time again tonight, and I'll see you down at Cadbury Half Marathon next weekend.
Yep, sounds
not,
good.
Not looking forward to the hills on that course. It's pretty hilly, isn't it? It's kind of rolling hills. Have you run that one before?
I think there is a few hills, yeah. I've never ran the half marathon. I've only done the 10. But it's not as bad as Points Pinnacle, so you'll be fine.
Well, I live in a town that literally has no hills at all. So, Yeah, there's not one hill in my whole town, so I don't get to run on hills that often. So when I get a tiny one, it hurts me a bit.
What distance are you running?
I'm going to run the half marathon as well. So,
oh, okay, perfect.
Yeah, yep. So we'll be on the start line.
See you
together.
At the start line.
Yeah, exactly right. It'd be good to put a name to the face after having a 50-minute conversation. A face to the name, sorry. Yeah. So that'd be good. Thanks again for your time. And, yeah, as I said, I'm stoked that the listeners will be able to hear your story, and I'm sure they'll be very inspired by it.
Yep, and as I said, you know, just for those listeners and runners out there, never, you know, just for me, running, you need to work on your goals and, you know, don't doubt yourself. Just keep on going for it, because if you put your mind to it, you can do anything. So, yeah.
Excellent. Beautiful way to leave the conversation, I think.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.